Attention, friends. Are you ready to embark on a journey into the unknown this Mother's Day? Prepare to dive into the depths of your family's history with MyLifeInABook.com. Each week, MyLifeInABook.com sends intriguing questions, uncovering the thrilling tales of your mom's past, and then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. From daring escapes to nail-biting encounters, her life becomes an epic adventure waiting to be explored. This Mother's Day, give the gift of excitement and intrigue with MyLifeInABook.com. It's a thrilling ride through your mom's life that you won't want to miss. I gave this to my mom last year, and let's just say I didn't know my mom as well as I thought I did. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code Shane at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code Shane for 10% off today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome back, friend. The attack at Lake Berryessa was an entirely different method of ambush and assault for the Zodiac. He had upped his game considerably, and with horrific consequences. This killer had, to our knowledge, only killed before by gunshot, shooting in the dark when he knew he was hidden in shadows as he fired bullet after bullet at his innocent targets. Now, he was suddenly face to face. He chose to be up close in broad daylight, with only a hood to hide his identity. The risk he took was being overpowered and stopped in his tracks. A risk that maybe drove him and fueled his adrenaline rush as he watched and then pounced on defenseless victims. Shooting a gun, even at close range, is still a very different type of attack from taking a knife and stabbing someone directly. The stabbing is much more personal and much more deliberate. During the day and out in the open, the Zodiac attacked Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd at Lake Berryessa and mercilessly left them for dead. He had no empathy for their terror and no care for their lives ebbing away on the shoreline.
This guy is a pathological, psycho killer. There's no doubt about it.
Is there any doubt in your mind that there is or is not any connection between Vallejo and Berryessa?
We're sifting out now. I wouldn't say that there is any connection, yet I wouldn't want to tell you that there isn't at this time. We have some pretty good physical evidence that we're working on now. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're going to get together with the Vallejo authorities. We've been in contact with them since the incident, and we definitely will pool our resources.
Does it seem to you as if you're pretty much on the verge of finding this man?
Well, I wouldn't want to say that, Dave. We're hoping. We've got some good things working for us, but it takes time. Mm-hmm. And to be able to reach out and pluck this guy out of the air isn't done. In most murder cases, you'll find a motive. But, of course, this guy is just a killer, a mad killer, and you have no motive. So it makes it a little bit harder for us to track him down.
It's also fairly obvious that the man greatly enjoys the publicity that surrounds this thing. And there's a chance that man could be watching this interview.
That's true.
What would you have to say to this man?
About the only thing I could say to him would, I think he realizes he needs help. I'm sure he does, and I'm sure he realizes what he's doing, and this is, to me, it's a sex crime. He's doing this for gratification, and I feel that he should definitely seek aid at any agency that he wants to go to in law enforcement. Anywhere, he should go to the nearest law enforcement agency and turn himself in, and we will try to do whatever we can to help this man.
Cecilia Shepherd lost her life in this horrific event, suffering injuries just too great for her to survive. Brian Hartnell, however, did live through his attack. He was stabbed 6 times in the back, deep penetrating wounds, but ones he somehow managed to overcome and recover from. On Sunday, September 28, 1969, Brian was interviewed at length by investigating officers about what had happened on the shoreline of Lake Berryessa.
The Saturday that ended in such brutality for Brian and Cecilia started as a day of excitement. Brian, Cecilia, and their friend Judy left the Pacific Union College, where Brian attended, about 1 p.m. that afternoon, and headed the 8 miles south, past Deer Park, to the tourist city of St. Helena. The trio went to a rummage sale where Brian picked up a TV for his room at college. Brian and Cecilia left St. Helena, and as far as Judy knew, they were going to San Francisco for the afternoon. That change of plan and decision to go to Lake Berryessa instead changed everything. A quiet afternoon, enjoying each other's company, had turned in a split second into a fight for survival against an unknown man with his face covered who wanted to take their life. With day getting later, a trip into San Francisco, as they'd originally planned, would take too long. Instead, they opted for Lake Berryessa. It was much closer, and they were keen to find a spot where they used to visit back when they were at school together. The ride from St. Helena to Berryessa should have taken them around 45 minutes. No one else was around them when they parked just a few minutes' walk from the shoreline and the spot they chose to rest. Not long after they had arrived, a noise alerted Brian that they may not be alone. He didn't have his glasses on and asked Cecilia to look and see if she could see anything. She told him she saw a man on his own who had just stepped behind a tree. As Brian pondered what the man could be doing, Cecilia suddenly exclaimed he had a gun. As Brian looked around, his eyes focused on the sight that had alarmed Cecilia. A lone figure, wearing a dark hood across his head and shoulders, walked towards them. In his hand, held up and in front of his body, was a pistol. Despite his surprise, Brian stayed calm and decided to try and talk with the man. Studying history and psychology at college, his instinct was that the man needed help. There was no way Brian could know the man he was looking at was the Zodiac, a killer already responsible for the deaths of 3 people. We don't know if Brian was even aware of these killings in Lake Herman Road or Blue Rock Springs in Vallejo. He seemed to be increasingly calm and rational in those moments. A few minutes, a collection of seconds maybe, to control your mind and think about what to do. Brian told the man he had 50 cents in his wallet, but if he needed help, he would try to help him. He offered out a hand of support rather than recoil in fear. It was an offer the Zodiac had no interest in. When the Zodiac spoke, he had a drawl to his voice, and Brian thought it was unique, but it wasn't an accent he was able to place. Zodiac told him he had just escaped from prison in Montana. He said he had killed a guard during his escape and now needed cash and a vehicle to get to Mexico. Brian now thought that what was happening to him and Cecilia was a robbery, a desperate convict trying to evade the law. He tried to reason with the man, tell him that simple theft would be easier than being hunted for a homicide, but the Zodiac took little notice. The story was a ruse, a cover to give a reason for what he was doing before he could overpower his chosen victims. The reality was much more sinister. The Zodiac was already a multiple killer, and now he had cornered two more victims, with nowhere for them to run.
All around them was water and green hills, and there were no other man-made sounds. The birds called to each other, leaves rustled on the ground, and the water lapped at the shore. Yet a man with a gun was standing in front of the two adults, intent on causing them harm. They couldn't know what was coming. The Zodiac told Cecilia to tie Brian up. He said he would feel better if Brian was restrained. It is unlikely the Zodiac expected a young man to stand up to him and offer him help as he pointed a gun directly at him. The Zodiac had come prepared. From his back pocket, he produced the pre-cut sections of plastic line. The knots Cecilia tied at first were loose, and Brian had a fleeting notion of trying to fight and wrestle the gun from this hooded individual. A look at Cecilia changed his mind. This wasn't just his life he was playing with. Cecilia's life was in danger too, and he didn't want to risk that any further. He allowed the knots to be tied tighter and didn't try to resist. With Brian's wrists now restrained behind his back, the Zodiac turned his attention to Cecilia. He tied her wrists himself, but with shaking hands and a nervous demeanor. Once satisfied, he checked the knots on Brian and tied them again to be sure. We can assume he didn't want any risk of escape or fighting back. For what he had in his mind to do, he needed both victims restrained and unable to defend themselves. Telling the couple to lie face down on their stomachs, the Zodiac proceeded to switch his gun for an 11-inch knife. Brian caught a flash of the blade before he felt the thumps as the Zodiac stabbed him repeatedly in the back. As involuntary grunts left his throat at each strike, Cecilia turned her head to see why and realized what was happening. Brian's interview with detectives details how she became hysterical, desperately trying to twist away from their attacker. To glimpse something so horrific and have the knowledge this man is at any moment going to do the same to you must be beyond terrifying. In our ongoing journey dissecting real-life mysteries, I've found a perfect companion in a game that not only captivates, but also lets me step into the shoes of a detective in the glamorous 1920s, June's Journey, as someone who's delved deep into the game, playing through the intriguing scenarios of June Parker. I can personally vouch for its immersive experience. In June's Journey, you unravel the mystery of June Parker's sister's murder. Each scene is a visual and intellectual puzzle, with hidden clues scattered across beautifully crafted locations. What I've enjoyed most is the depths of the storyline. Each chapter peels back a layer of this thrilling narrative, revealing danger, mystery, and romance. Besides the allure of solving mysteries, the game lets you design and customize your own luxurious estate island. Building my estate has been a delightful escape, offering a creative break from the intense narratives we tackle on the podcast. For those of you who enjoy the blend of history, mystery, and narrative depth we explore on this podcast, June's Journey offers a chance to live out those elements in a beautifully interactive setting. June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android, and join me in this ongoing quest to uncover hidden truths and solve complex mysteries. As the blows stopped for Brian, they began for Cecilia. She too was forced to endure multiple blows to her back, with absolutely no way to defend herself. She managed to throw her body onto her back, ankles twisting as she was still tied to Brian. The Zodiac didn't slow down his attack. Cecilia was stabbed over and over in her abdomen, groin, and arm. Brian witnessed this figure dressed in black, wearing a hood with dark eyeglasses clipped across the eye holes, go into a frenzy as he stabbed his friend. He couldn't do anything and was fearful the attacker would turn back on him. He played dead, stayed silent and still, and prayed for it to end. And when he had finished, the Zodiac simply stood up and walked away, likely confident in his mind he had killed both Brian and Cecilia. His work was done. Brian doesn't know the time lapse between the Zodiac walking away and both he and Cecilia beginning to scream for help. Fear and shock, no doubt, masking those initial bursts of pain from their injuries. They tried desperately to untie each other and attract some attention. All the while terrified, the man who had just tried to kill them would return to finish the job. Their rescue by Donald Young, the Whites, and the two park rangers must have brought them both intense relief. But as each minute passed, both Brian and Cecilia were losing more blood. They managed some words describing the hooded figure who had pounced on them, but it was Brian's statement in those first hours at the hospital that gave the detail of the horror they endured.
If I remember right, in speaking with one of the deputies who was investigating this thing, he said that the first thing you told a deputy out there was to give some idea of a description of the man. Do you understand now how your mind was able to work that well under those conditions? You really did an exceptional job in that.
Well, to the whole thing, like I mentioned before, at the beginning, I did think I was going to die. And so from that moment on, one has to have certain goals that you have to set. The first goal, of course, was to live. I suppose the second goal was to get untied. The next one was to get help. From getting help, getting to the hospital. You know, you have to have a successive yes. set of goals. And if you can keep this going and you can keep your mind active, whether you die or not, you're at least psychologically attuned, whether you're in shock or not. If you can keep arguing with yourself, praying, doing anything to keep your mind off of yourself, or at least just not lapsing back and just saying, well, it's no use.
You know that this man is still at large,
mm-hmm.
and that there is a better than average possibility that this could be the same man who was involved in four murders over in Vallejo. Can you think of anything that you might want to tell that man at all?
I considered him a robber. I had absolutely no thought that he was anything but that. And when we were at this robbery stage, I didn't consider any real threat to my life or to the girl yeah. or anything. I really didn't consider this, but I really wanted to help him. And did he
seem as though he would like your help at all?
No, he didn't. And he didn't even end up taking the money. But I
bear no grudge?
Well, of course not. I don't think that he was acting under his total complete consciousness. And when a man is, if you don't mind using the word, sick, you can't hold this against them. But the real concern that I have is that he doesn't do this again. I'd like to see some people save this experience. We had a complete lack of communications. I kept trying to talk to him, and I think he could still use help. I mean, I don't really think he knows his need, and if he could only realize his need, he doesn't have to. If he could just call the authorities or call a health institution of some type, I really think he can be helped. He's not beyond hope.
Brian will probably be able to leave Queen of the Valley Hospital fairly soon. Brian made it for two reasons some people might regard as intangibles, but reasons that for him were enough. A strong faith and an equally strong will to live. Dave Monsees, Eyewitness News, at Queen of the Valley Hospital.
In the days after the attack, three young women came forward to say that they had been at Lake Berryessa on the same Saturday. Earlier in the afternoon, around 3 p.m, as they were walking away from their parked car, they noticed a man inside a vehicle watching them. Not close enough to get a good look at him, they made their way to a section of beach and lay down sunbathing in the heat of the sun. They hadn't been there long when they saw the same man, about 40 or 50 yards away, standing and watching them. He would avert his gaze when they looked over, but his presence was unnerving. He remained in place watching the trio for as long as 30 minutes before he disappeared from their sight. They didn't see the man again as they left the lake less than an hour later. When they heard about the attack just hours after they were there, they realised how lucky they may have been. The man they saw was also tall, about 40 years old, stocky and wearing dark clothing. It is entirely possible this man was in fact the Zodiac, considering whether the three women would be his next set of victims. Before walking towards Brian and Cecilia with his gun raised, the Zodiac had prepared his disguise and his weapons. Items he brought with him that day to Lake Berryessa in the hope of finding victims to attack. The dark hood he wore looked homemade. It sat over his head with two corners pointing upwards and eye holes cut out of the fabric. Dark eyeglasses clipped into place, ensuring his eyes could not be seen. The hood went down past his shoulders and the front flap draped over his chest. In the middle was a circle outlined in white, about 3 by 3 inches across, with a cross drawn through it, a symbol now recognised as the call sign of the Zodiac Killer. He was a tall man at around 6 foot with a heavy build, dressed in dark clothing. Under the strange ceremonial type hood was a lightweight windbreaker style jacket, also dark in colour. On his right hip he had a pistol in a holster. On his left hip sat the knife inside a sheath attached to his belt. He had travelled to Lake Berryessa prepared on that day, ready to carry out a tortuous and utterly terrifying attack.
The attack at Lake Berryessa was an escalation in the behavior and violence the Zodiac Killer was willing to carry out. He appeared to get bolder in each attack, despite shaking hands while tying up Cecilia Shepherd. He proceeded to carry out a terrible cruelty, stopping only when he seemed satisfied both his victims' lives had been drained away. His hood protected any prying eyes from seeing his real identity, but this attack was still a bold and confident move, out in the open space, in an environment he could not fully control. He had stepped out from the cover of darkness in the twilight hours, instead choosing to attack in daylight, but ensuring his victims could not identify him. He came to Lake Berryessa, prepared and ready to kill. He left thinking he had killed two people, looking forward to taunting the police in just over 60 minutes' time. I am curious if he was shocked to discover that Brian had survived. Brian remained under the protection of Napa police during his recovery in the hospital. After he was discharged, his location was kept secret because of fear the killer may try again. The information Brian was able to provide was invaluable. It helped detectives to inch closer to this killer, but his identity remained a mystery. Just 2 weeks after Lake Berryessa, the Zodiac would launch his next strike. Once again, it was one no one saw coming.
Hey
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.